For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everybody. Our class on Pesach, Tavshin Samech 5760. Pesach, we're going to discuss a number of things. Number one, the relationship that we have mentioned of Pesach being a paradigm, right? Being a paradigm of every other exile that we've been in. And it's extreme correlation, especially to our last exile, the present exile that we're in, the exile of Edom, but more proper, this chelik, this section of it, America. There's tremendous, tremendous similarities that, God will, we hope to discuss between America and Egypt, and how we get out of this mess, the same way we got out of that mess, the same requirements, the same merits, and so forth and so on. So that we hope to discuss. Other thing, the concept of freedom will be a topic, Yitzhak Hashem, in the class, what exactly it means to be free. And a third thing we hope to cover here is the concept of Maror. What does it mean? Why do we have Maror on Pesach? If you think about it, we're celebrating freedom. You know, we do all these things to celebrate freedom on Pesach, and yet we eat the bitter herbs. I'm not talking about your cousin who's not pleasant. Okay, herb, you know, there's always, everybody has a herb in their family, you know, a Hal, a Herb, a Murray, right? Everybody's got one. Right, okay. So why is bitter herb at the table? What's that all about? That could be the fifth son, bitter herb. Sorry. Okay, I'll do tshuva on that one also. All right. My Neuberger is spying on me, making sure I'm doing the proper, saying the proper things. Okay. Okay, guys, here we go. First thing, let's talk about Maror. This is a concept that we've talked about many times in class. The idea of Golus, the idea of Yisurin, of afflictions, Maror, that is represented by Maror. And what's our attitude? Well, how are we supposed to look at those things? Now, one of the things we do at the Pesach Seder, Hillel sandwich, it's a very unusual thing, because we take, according to most commentaries, two opposites. Matzah, representing freedom, even though some people say it's also lechem oini, it also represents the afflictions. And we take the maror, and we put them together in the sandwich, and we eat it. Okay? Now, we've discussed in past years that the Chiddush Yerim talks about this, the Ger Rebbe, and he says that really the idea of a celebration of a Pesach or the end of Golus, our Geula, our redemption, any time that happens, our celebration is not just on the fact that we're free and that we've been redeemed, that we've been taken out of the servitude, but that's like a halfway measure. A true celebration of freedom is realizing that in retrospect what we thought was an affliction was also for our benefit. Now that's a fundamental yisoid, a fundamental rule. Okay, now if there's one, we've hammered that in this class over and over again. Okay, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Baal Nechamos. Hashem is called the master of comfort. Someone who comforts you, right? If something happens, Lo Aleinu, we should know from it. So a person says, you know, I really feel your pain. Sorry, I hope he doesn't say that. Or they're trying to commiserate with you. Did I say that right? Commiserate?
Commiserate.
Oh, it's close enough. Come on, guys. All right, right. So, but the truth is they really, and even if they could, even if they went through the same experience, okay, it's still not your experience. You yourself are experiencing something no one else can appreciate. But there's even a further idea of comfort. True comfort, the ultimate comfort, is not just that I can really relate to what you went through, right? But I can tell you, you know what? What you're going through is not bad. It's really good. Oh, that's the ultimate comfort. To realize that you have, let's say, a guy's trying to break his head in learning, and he just doesn't grasp that all the other students are ahead of him, Yeshiva, right? Or we realize that, you know, whatever it is, or actual afflictions to the body, physical or mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, you know, how can you tell me this is good? These people are walking around, and this guy's stuck in a wheelchair. And someone's able to tell you, really, for you, for your personal mission and purpose that you were brought down this world, that is the best thing that you got. That's really that's Baal Nechamas. Only Hashem can do that. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can comfort someone to the point that you think what was a deficiency is really an asset. Right? The ultimate marketing plan. That's the Hillel sandwich. Eating matzah and marah together. To see the matzah, the freedom now, and the marah, the bitter afflictions of our exile and our personal sufferings in our lives, as seeing them two halves of a whole. Can I tell you a story?
Nice.
There was once a chassid. He used to go to his rebbe, like every good chassid would, when he had tzoras. And he had mamish gewaltig, yisurin. He had really very big problems, very big afflictions, whatever it was, poverty and physical. So, whenever he had these tzoras, he would go to his rebbe. And his rebbe would sit there and listen to him. And he would daven for him. And taka, every time, the rebbe would daven and the tzoras would go away. So, one year, what happened? The Rebbe passed away. It was time to go home. The Rebbe went to Olam Haba. And the Chassid was, you know, again in a situation where he had a bunch of tzoras. And what could he do? He couldn't go to the Rebbe anymore. So, he went to the Kever. Next best thing, he went to the gravesite of the Rebbe. And he prayed to Hashem. We don't pray to dead people, right? But you pray at that holy site in the merit of this tzaddik the prayers will be more acceptable. But you're praying to Hashem, I have to mention that. So he prayed at the gravesite that his rabbi should be a meili tyesher, he should be like a defense attorney for him, right? And in the merit of his rabbi, you know, that his sore should go away as usual. Nothing happened. Days went by, weeks went by. And nothing happened. He still had the tzoras. Finally, one night, his rabbi appeared to him in a dream. And the chassid said, "What happened? You know, you always used to daven, my tzoras used to go away from me. And I went like a faithful chassid and I daven at the, you know, at the kever, at the gravesite. And I'm still stuck with this and this and this tzoras." So the rabbi explained to him, says, my dear Yidla, don't think that I don't love you anymore. Don't think I don't care about you anymore. But let me explain. I'm now in the world of truth. The ultimate truth. When I was down there, in the Olam Deshikra, in the your world, this world here, when I was down there and you came to me and you used to tell me about your tzoras, I would think, Taka, these are Gevaltik tzoras. These are Mamish tzoras. And I would miss power for you. And the tzoras would go away. But now that I'm in this world, I see everything differently. And I see what you think are tzoras, they're not really tzoras. We say a bracha every morning, Sha'asa li kol tzarki, that you supplied me with all my needs. That means even the tzoras. That's exactly what you need. Whatever it is. You don't know why, but that's what it is. You have to have it. For your particular avoda in this world. You know, the Chiddush Yerim also says, in the Mishnah and Ethics of Our Fathers, Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah there, if you remember, Im ein ani li, mi li. Right? If I'm not for me, who will be? Right? It's not a political slogan, right? So, what does that mean? This Yerim explains on that Mishnah that if you ever wonder why certain people have the underside of the needle point. Remember that muscle, the underside of the needle point? That's the way we look at things in this world. You know, if you look at the underside of a needle point, it's a mess. Some threads are gnarled, some are short, some seem to end too short. Others are long and straggly, right? And there's no pattern. It doesn't make any sense, right? When you look at it the other way, you know, the right way, you see a beautiful tapestry. Everything is orchestrated. Everything looks sets, right? So Taka says, when you get to the next world and you're wondering why in this world some people look like the underside of a needle point, some people's life ended short, some threads are gnarled and crippled and so forth and so on, right? You have big questions. So you get to the next world. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see everybody singing a shira, a song. What is a shira? Song is a kiddush Hashem. A shira means your personal connection to Hashem, how you served Him in this world. What made you unique in your relationship to God that no one else can touch? It's not a matter of higher, lower. It's your uniqueness. You have a unique personality. You have a unique way of looking at things. You have a unique set of circumstances that nobody else has, by definition, right? Or you wouldn't be here. You understand that? There's no duplication here. So, you're going to get up there and sing your Shira, your Kiddush Hashem, how you sanctified God's name. Oh, yes. Kiddush Hashem means living like a Jew, not just dying like a Jew. The ultimate Kiddush Hashem is to go on living like a Jew. And to live with your Tzoras and to serve Hashem despite them. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That is your individual Shira, your song to Hashem in the next world. Says the Chiddush Yerim. You know what the blind person, for example, you know what he'll sing about to Hashem? He'll thank Hashem and sing about his blindness. Because that was what he thought the most deficient thing he had, the biggest deficit, so to speak, and I still served you, Hashem, with it. I did what I could. Wow. What a Kiddush Hashem. The guy was blind, and he still tried to serve Hashem. He got books in Braille. He tried to learn what he could. He listened to tapes. He did chesed. He never was bitter. Forget about the mitzvahs. Don't forget about them, but you know, he never was bitter. He never complained. That itself is a Kiddush Hashem. He went through life never questioning Hashem. Why'd you make me poor? Why'd you make me crippled? Why'd you make me blind? I just went on serving you with faith. That was his unique Kiddush Hashem. And he'll thank Hashem for those very gnarled threads, for those sores, for those afflictions that look so bad in this world. They're going to give him an eternity of bliss for it, for serving Hashem with it. And you don't have to be blind, and it doesn't have to be crippled. It doesn't have to be so dramatic as I'm making it. It could be that you are fighting mentally with trying to be a frum yid, and you're trying, and it's hard, and it's tough, and you're part of the world, and you're still going an extra step and trying to serve. It could be just questions that nag you and gnaw at you, and you don't feel 100%, you know, in it. And you're still going on serving Hashem. You could have questions on major hashkafa things, Jewish philosophy. And you still go on serving Hashem. And those could be gevaltik yisurin, gevaltik tzoras, right? And for you, that could be like someone being blind or crippled. And you're still going on and plugging away. You know, the whole book of Iyov, Iyov in Hebrew. So, the whole book is really about this. It's about his three friends, each with a different outlook, a different philosophy on why afflictions come. And finally, Elijah the prophet comes at the end and explains that basically you're making a big fundamental mistake. You're looking and rationalizing with your human mind. The bottom line is, we're limited. And things come from the supreme being, Hashem Baruch Hu. And you have to go through life with a muna pashuta, Just simple faith. Hashem knows what He's doing. He gave me what I need. Whatever I'm going through, I need it. Get better through it. Build up character. By the way, sometimes, this is a side note, sometimes the biggest affliction is prosperity, wealth, and never having a problem. You understand? You know that?
Personally.
It's true. It's true. A person goes around through this whole world in prosperity and luxury, never with a problem. He could, not necessarily, but never focus on what's really important in life. Never be able to relate to people and their problems. Never to think about the spiritual realm. Sometimes, just having source makes you realize that this world isn't what it's cracked up to be. I mean, from the standpoint of just the physical world. Right? And you realize, you know, how much can you indulge in the pleasure of this world? It is, it's over in a minute. What does it mean? What does it mean? Why am I here? Person has afflictions. They stop and think about things. Look forward for Mashiach. Look forward to the next world. Not saying you shouldn't enjoy this world. But, as we always say, take pleasure with measure. Alright, so that's Yisurah. Matzah and Marah together represent this. That our freedom, our matzah, right? You always have to look at with the Marah. That the Marah is part and parcel of it. The redemption of Egypt, right? That redemption of Egypt, we celebrate also the slavery there. It's an amazing statement. I couldn't say it, but it's written right there in the Torah. In Devarim, it says that Mitzrayim is called a Kur Barzel, a cleansing furnace. A cleansing furnace. Somehow it weeded out the people that would have caused many problems. Four-fifths of the Jews died there, right? They were so steeped, so assimilated, so far gone, beyond redemption. Again, the parallel to America. You don't have to be a Talmud Chacham to see that, what's going to happen at the end of days. There's a weeding out process. Holocaust is part of that weeding out process. Unfortunately, the good also gets swept up sometimes in that. All right? And it cleansed us. It gave us a whole different look on people on a lower stature. We were able to embed this character trait of being merciful and compassionate. We were also able to embed the characteristic of being a complete servant to God instead of to a human being. And many, many other things. Whatever it was, that experience, the Egypt experience, and its Exodus, right? The servitude and the Exodus is a matzah and maror that we needed to be forged into a nation. A Kur Barzel, a cleansing furnace, was Egypt. We'll see these things more clearly in our exile at the end of days. We'll see these things. We'll understand things. We're only beginning now to grapple with our latest Egypt, with the Holocaust, and finding things that, you know, are more palatable for us, whatever. But the truth is, we don't know. We don't know why these things happen. Sometimes, we know one thing though, that the biggest problem that we have is when we don't have an Egypt, when we don't have a Russia. We have more trouble from ourselves than anybody else. We assimilate what Hitler couldn't do, we're doing it by ourselves, with the intermarriage and everything else. Our spiritual Holocaust. That's taka, why we compare it to oil many times. You know? Oil, you get oil out of an olive when it's crushed. You bring it out, you crush it, you beat it, you get the finest of the olive, the oil. Sometimes that taka, you see Jews. You see Jews in the Holocaust, what they do to do a mitzvah, they smuggled in a shofar, how they smuggled in a page of a siddur. These stories are unbelievable. The spiritual resistance. What's in a yid? That Jewish spark comes out when we're under affliction. You have it nice in America, there's a chance. There's a chance that we get a little complacent. We wax fat, kick. Vayishma Yisran Vayivat. Alright, so that's the matzah and maror. And the truth is also, in the Haggadah, Shel Pesach, if you notice, it says, right, if you don't say these three things, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. What are they? Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Let me ask you, is that order correct?
Is that order in the...
Is that the chronological order in which it happened?
No.
What should it be? Maror should definitely come first, the slavery, right? And then, I guess you could debate Pesach or Matzah. Pesach was last? Yeah, okay, alright. Yeah, the Paschal Oven, I don't know. Okay, whatever. But for sure, Maror should come first, right? This is a question that many people grapple with. But it's, again, one of the answers is what we're saying here. Really, what the Maror being last is in retrospect, again. That we see in retrospect, it's also from the Dushyarim, actually. We can understand why it happened. While the Maror's happened, while we're going through it, we don't understand. So it's only afterwards, Pesach, Matzah, then we can look at the Maror in a proper perspective. You understand? Another idea behind this order is that a person really doesn't appreciate how bad, how bitter the experience of exile is until he has freedom. That's very important. Let's talk about this. The Maror is last because then only then you appreciate after the Pesach and Matzah how bitter the exile was. You know, you can get used to anything. There's an expression in Yiddish, Vermon Lechrein by him it's Zis. There's a certain worm that lives in horseradish. For him it's sweet. You can get used to anything. You do. Think about it. If you ever moved, you ever lived, when I first came to Atlanta, I moved in a place, very nice people. They had like a mother-in-law suite to their house. Turned out to be a father-in-law suite because I was kicked out and they had to move their father-in-law in there. But Lamaisa, and I was just thrilled because I was a year, 6 months, and 28 days in New York. And I was just thrilled to be in what I call a normal city, you know, with trees. They say Shechiano in New York when they see a tree. Lamaisa, but the truth was, the place was very cramped. I didn't have a normal fridge. There wasn't a normal oven, you know. But I was just so happy to be out here. I was thrilled. And when I had to move, it was upsetting. It was upsetting. But Taka, the move was much better. I had a much better apartment, so forth and so on, much better facilities. The point is, only in retrospect I realized after moving to the new place, how could I possibly have lived in that other place? It's not normal. It's not normal kitchen. It's not normal fridge. It's not normal oven, stove, nothing, right? How could I live there? So the thing is, that's the nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a blessing. The blessing that we can get hair go. We can get second nature something. We get used to something. We get accustomed to something. You know, and then, if we move up, you know, if we move up, whatever it is, that means physically, and Gashmi is right, and we look back, how can we ever live like that? Yeah, you get a new car, right? You get a new car, you know. You don't mind no car that much, a little bit. Once you get that new car, yeah, how did I drive that old thing, right? That's it. So, the truth is, the Maror is not mentioned first. Because no matter how bitter the exile is, you make do. You make do and you get through it. But there's a more, much more sensitive point. When the redemption comes, you see how you can never go back to those conditions, how bitter the Maror is, but you see much something spiritual also, much more important than the physical servitude. You see the toll that the exile took on you. Right? For example, you see, let's use our parable in a different sense. If you move from a place like Birmingham, if you move from Bucksnort, Tennessee, right, whatever it might be, right, you're living a nice life. Look, you know, okay, there's no shul, it's all diving by myself, you know, I keep shops myself, you know, and you make do. Now, once you move to a place that has a decent Jewish community, how did I live like that? You say to yourself, how did I live like that? How can I live? You know, I live with no Jews, with no community, no shul. I can never go back to that. I need to grow when you grow in a new Jewish community. right? And then you realize in retrospect how bitter that experience was, how it deadened your Jewish neshama, how there was no Yiddishkeit back there. Okay, that's the real exile. The Mara comes last because you don't realize how bad the exile was on you spiritually until you have a redemption. Then you see in retrospect how it deadened your spiritual receptions, how you were so coarse and grub, how you didn't appreciate Torah and mitzvahs, how you looked at things through spiritual terms. You looked at things through physical terms instead of spiritual, right?
Egypt, they were not in exile anymore.
No, okay, very good. The question is, we got out of Egypt, so Elaine wants to say, weren't we still in exile until we got into Israel? No. Our redemption really happened at a different place, Mount Sinai. Yeah, you're right. The Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, when we saw the Egyptians dead before us, the commentaries make a comment there, right, that our redemption from Egypt, as far as servitude, was finished. But remember, it's repeated over and over again, let my people go that they may serve me, that Shavuos, right, the Mount Sinai experience, and Dafka Mount Sinai happened in a desert, not in the land of Israel, we're given the Torah. We're given to it in a desert. That is our link to freedom. That's what makes us free. That's the intrinsic freedom. That's why the Rambam says it should be like a Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. Right? And that sphere, that counting, a direct connection. Okay, so freedom, the real redemption, is concluded at Shavuos. And we talked about why the Gemara, in fact, calls Shavuos Atzeres, the culmination of Pesach, just like Shemini Atzeres to Sukkos. I want to flip over. I'm going to continue on this theme of freedom, since you brought it up. But freedom. Let's talk about freedom. Israel definitely helps us. We have mitzvahs that we can only do in Israel, and has an intrinsic holiness to it, and you can do its mitzvah in its ultimate shleimus there, right? And it cripples us a little bit, not being in Israel, right? For sure we pray and we want to return to Israel, I mean, like it's supposed to be, not the way it is now, right? But we can survive. Without Torah, we're not a nation. Well, upside the gun, we're a nation by virtue of the Torah. The Torah, that's it. There's no heart. There's no soul left in Israel. Eretz Yisrael, without Eretz Yisrael, we have like a missing limb, a missing right hand. Okay, we can go on. Right. Right. So now, but this idea of freedom, Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, let's talk about this. What does it mean to be free? The celebration of Pesach, again, to serve Hashem, to be an Am Hashem, you can't have one without the other. What does that mean? What is freedom? Okay. To appreciate what freedom is, we have to understand how insidious the exile of Russia is, Egypt is. No slip. 49th level of impurity, where people forgot they're Jews. Mitzrayim, Egypt, like Russia, was called Ervas Haaretz, the nakedness of the earth. Hayasham gam inyan shel znus haseichel. Sedor Gedoliao, there was a matter there called the prostitution of the mind. Hachetzel avodizora, prostitution of the mind, propaganda, that insidious society and culture telling you what it is to be a good person, what values are, what's culture, what's proper, what's politically correct. Znus haseichel. That's the biggest gullus. That was Egypt. Forget about the servitude. The physical servitude, we can survive those. The mental, we can't. We can't. Listen to Rob Cook. Intrinsic freedom is the exalted spirit by which man is inspired to remain faithful to his inner essence, to the spiritual attribute of the divine image within him. It is that attribute which enables him to feel that he has a life with purpose and value. But a person with a slave mentality lives life and harbors emotions which are attractive and good in the eyes of others. Others who rule over him. We, Bnei Israel, who have been oppressed for so many thousands of years, but our inner intrinsic soul is imbued with the spirit of freedom, the spirit of an eternal self-knowledge of who we are, what our essence are. And that's why we can never really become slaves. This explains why assimilation is much worse than any physical persecution. Because a physical persecution, we can remain intrinsically free. We know who we are. As a matter of fact, it's the olive. That comes out more. When we're crushed, physically persecuted, the real essence of the Jew comes out. The oil comes shining through. And no matter how much you try to mix olive oil with other liquids, it doesn't assimilate. It floats to the top. The Nazi who's beating on the Jew, and the Jew can look up at him and say, I'd rather be me, the Jew, being beaten upon than you, the Nazi, beating upon me. That's intrinsic freedom. But assimilation, assimilation, when we lose that inner core of who we are, or we forget, or it gets buried under all the culture and the value, and again, that propaganda and the prosperity of the United States, we lose who we are and what we are, then you become a slave. You only do things because other people are doing it. That's why I gotta do it. Right? They said it's right. They said I can't say the word homosexual. Who's they? I don't know. So what Raymond Bader always says, when he talks about Avram doing everything the opposite of the world, he says if everybody's wearing purple ties, that's a good enough reason why the Jew shouldn't wear one. For no other reason. To be different. To be different? Did he say to be different? Yeah. Yeah. We're supposed to be different. Not to be like all the Goyim, quote, unquote, Torah, over and over and over again. If there's one theme that Torah keeps repeating is, don't be like the Goyim. Be different. And here's the Torah to show you how to be different. Respect other people? Of course. Respect all creations of God. But that doesn't mean you have to be like them. I like cats. I don't want to go around scratching the furniture, though. On Pesach, there's a certain hashpah, a certain spiritual influence in the air that helps us lock on to an intrinsic freedom to get in touch with our inner selves, who we really are. That's freedom. Not copying everybody else and trying to be like everybody else and not wanting to stand out. Committing oneself to genuine freedom rather than the counterfeit freedom which is more dreadful and base than any slavery. That is the hidden slavery which fools and blinds the masses. Rav Kook. And again, in the passport. Let me tell you.
Everybody knew you were Jewish, and so you tried to stay with
I'm going to interrupt this class in the middle of this thought here because I don't think you appreciate these two fine Russian ladies that we have here. This is more important than any class I can give. What they just said in this last 5 minutes, experiencing that and experiencing all the persecution in Russia and chapping them Jew, they didn't intermarry, they didn't assimilate. But yet, they come here, and they're in the minority. They're in the minority that kept their Jewishness. Generation later, two at best, intermarried. That was from their own mouth, their own words. this is, you got to understand, this is like a great opportunity. You're not going to get this opportunity in too many more years to have these eyewitness accounts of both experiences of Hatzileni Miyad Achi Miyad Esav. Save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. They experience Esav in Russia, and now they're experiencing save me from the hands of my brother, America. The brotherly love, kissing him to death. This is it. Live an experience here. This is the Pesach experience. It's a tremendous... I'm so glad you both are here. That's the problem. They tell you the same. In Russia, they told you you're different. Freedom, to lock on this freedom, not get trapped in this idea that you just discussed, that you're all the same, everything's fine. Hey, me, you come, I'll celebrate your holiday, I'll experience your synagogue, you come to my thing, let's all get along together. How can you be against that? Peace. That's why the statement of Chazal, Ein lo ben chorem ela misha isek b'Torah. There's no such thing as a free man unless one is involved in Torah. If you're not involved in Torah, the nature of a human being is he's influenced by his environment. You're going to be influenced. And then the bigger exile you are, what they tell you, like you just said, everybody's the same, the more you got to delve into Torah and hang on tight. That's the connection. Shavuos has to be the final seal of redemption from the Exodus experience. You're not, it doesn't happen. That's what it is. The first of the Ten Commandments. Why was the first utterance of Hashem? I'm the Lord, the God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Now the redemption's complete. Now you got a Torah. Now you know what to do. How to live freedom. How to be free. What does it mean to be free? Just not being physically persecuted doesn't mean you're free. We've been physically persecuted many times since the Egyptian experience. How many should I name for you? Tachvatat, the Cossacks, the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust. How many should I name for you? But we're always free. Physically we can be beaten, but they can't take our neshama. People who died in the Holocaust, one-way trip to Olam Haba, spiritual bliss. They're not complaining, believe me. For us it's a tragedy. We lost a link of our Masorah to our Sinai. We lose out. They didn't lose out. Freedom is only being connected with Torah. Pnimim has this quote. Freedom means having the ability to use your free will to grow and develop. People think they're free when in reality they are slaves. They're slaves to the fads and the fashions of their society. Slavery, you know what slavery is? It's a non-thinking action, rote behavior. Following what everybody else is doing or following the impulses of your desires, of the desires of your body. Our job on Pesach is to come out of slavery into freedom. To do intrinsically what a Jew wants to do. And that's why we have halachas. You can force a person to do something off a curb and give a get until he says, I want to do it. You force him until he says, I want to do it. Because that's freedom. You're trying to offset that Yisrohara and do what he intrinsically wants to do. But this statement, I saw something the other day. I couldn't believe this. I mean, it's the most insane thing. It's fashions. Fashions, momish, are the biggest act of slavery. They can tell you out there, they're wearing flood pants now. They call them flood pants. You know what they are? These are pants that cut about mid-calf. Ladies wear them, okay? I use the term loosely. Okay, they wear these pants that cut about mid-calf. They look like they're flared, like almost like bell bottoms. And they're in style. They're called flood pants. Now, I remember when I was a kid, we accidentally shrunk my pants or something, and I got caught wearing pants that were cutting above the ankle. Kids would make fun of me. Hey, flood pants. You're wearing flood pants. Now they tell you, you're in style. Cool. That's it. Unbelievable. I just can't. I told you the story in Dallas. when I was teaching the kids. I said, you guys are slaves. You know, everything they dictate to you out there, you'll do. If they told you, seventh graders, you know, I said, if they told you to wear your clothes inside out, you guys would do it. Everybody gave me a blank look. I sensed something was wrong. What's going on? One of the kids told me that's what's in style. The seam, I don't know if you remember this, the labels on the outside of clothes show and the seams of the clothes, you remember this? About 20, 25 years ago? Yeah, that was the style. To wear it, it was designed to look like it was inside out. Mamish nahafuchu, upside down. Everything, you can anything, upside down. You can sell anything to the public and tell them this is in, do it. Mamish is scary. Mamish is scary. It's no surprise you could have a Hitler rising up in a country. You can sell them on anything. The most immoral or ridiculous, immoral, look at the morality of the society. You can tell them that it's an alternative lifestyle and they can condone homosexuality. It's unbelievable how stupid, how they are slaves out there. They make fun of the religious Jew. Tied to ritual. Tied to ritual. You got blind faith in the rabbis who tell you how to interpret the Torah. And you do this, and you don't do that. Straight jackets. You guys can't go sit around Saturday. You can't watch TV. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's freedom. I don't need TV. I can obey Hashem and not watch TV. I can obey Hashem and not eat kosher. You're the slave. You can't go a day without watching TV. You can't discipline yourself not to have that desire, that pleasure, that cheeseburger. Who's the slave? Who's the real slave? I choose to obey God and these set of rules. You can't. You can't do that. You're the slave. There I go again, ranting and raving. Okay. By the way, in the Pesach Haggadah, it's a beautiful statement that the Netziv says, Ki ger, you know, it's quoting the verse in the Torah. It says, Ki ger hayazarecha yezarecha, Ki ger yezarecha. It's a pasuk to Avram during the Bris Mitzrayim. Hashem tells Avram, Ki ger yezarecha, your children will be a stranger in a land not theirs, and they'll be afflicted in servitude. And that's, you know, it turns out to be Egypt, right? You remember that? Right, in Lach Lecha V'Yera, right? Then right afterwards we say, V'hi shamda l'avoseinu. Now we sing, V'hi shamda, V'hi shamda. Oh boy, I didn't get my voice on the thing. And that's what stood for our fathers. V'hi shamda l'avoseinu. You know, this stood for our fathers, gave us a stand, and it goes on, the Haggadah goes on. So many people, the commentaries of the Haggadah, ask, what is V'hi shamda l'avoseinu? And this stood by our fathers. It became a steadfast thing for, you know, it made us a kiyum. We were able to withstand exile, our forefathers. What is it going on? Vihi, and it. What was it that made us survive the exile? So, Netziv says, it's going on this previous verse, Ki ger yezarecha, the previous paragraph. That statement by Hashem, which is not just a prophecy, but a promise to Avram, Ki ger yezarecha, your children will be a ger. They'll be strangers in a land not theirs. He sha'anda lavosenu. That's what gave us a kiyum and golus. That's what enabled us to survive. That we remain with an attitude of a ger, a stranger. Listen to his lashon. Sha'goyim eina manichim la'al lisboilel. That the goyim won't let us assimilate with them. They persecute us. Don't marry a Jew. Jews can't enter our country club. Stay away from them. Jews have to have their separate ghetto. Oh, that's very good. That's what enables us to survive the Golus. Right, Mrs. Bermenko? Umaskirin lanu b'chol yom damichein anu elazorim. And they remind us every day that you're strangers. Jew, passport, Jew. Very good. Very good. That's what gives us a kiyum and golus. Hisham dalanu atmosenu v'aruchnias adayom hazeh. That's what has enabled us to survive spiritually to this very day. One more aspect of freedom. You know, if you think about it, Professor Grossman, Pesach celebration of Chayrus, of freedom, and yet the Seder night's the hardest night of the year. You know, we all know all the working that goes into it, right? And the Maisa, the very night, you know, you start late, you end late, and there's a gantz of things, you know, you gotta do, you gotta lean, eat the matzah, and then you gotta, you know, eat the matzah, and then you gotta eat more matzah, and you gotta eat some maror in between, and then some more matzah, you know. The Maisa, I don't know how anybody eats a meal that night. And there's hollow, you say hollow. You know, you say hollow, then the meal seems to be a quote-unquote interruption, and then you finish hollow at the end of the meal, right? It's a lot of davening. Say hollow and shul at night, the only time you do that. So, you'd think, you know, in the Goyish world, well, how would they celebrate freedom? They'd have a few drinks, they would kick back, put their feet on the lounge chair and do nothing. That's freedom. By them, that's freedom. You do nothing, it's freedom. Certainly not working and having to recite this and recite that. You know, and doing all these mitzvahs, that certainly doesn't seem like freedom. If our heart is not even here, in fact, it seems like we're more slaves this night than any other time. Yeah, you're right, we are. Avodim Hashem, the Teretz is that the real taich of what chayrus, of what freedom is that chayrus means that you're working for yourself. You're working for yourself. All the other days, you saw it, all the goyim out there, they're working for their Yetzer Hara. Pesach is a celebration that we are freeing ourselves, and we're working for ourselves, and that's why on this night we work so hard, because we're working for ourselves. You work for yourself, you never get tired, you know? You stand there, you have to load gold bricks in a sack, you won't get tired. You know, if you have to build Kisam Ramses, you get tired, right? So this night, the celebration of freedom, true, Emeslam Miso Cheres, is why we do so many mitzvahs, and why we work so hard, and why we're singing hallel, and we're thanking and praising Hashem over and over again, and we're reciting a long book called the Haggadah, and we're reciting hallel, and why even the gashmis that we do, even the physical that we do, our achila, the eating of the meal, that's also serving Hashem, and that's why it's not an interruption of hallel. We recite hallel, we eat a meal, and we recite hallel. It's not an interruption. That's a part of hallel too. That's a part of praise. Hallel means praise. It's a praise of Hashem too. Eating the suda, not a meal. A suda. A suda. Yeah? Hallel, suda, hallel. Continue, uninterrupted. That's a celebration of Pesach. Knowing Hashem in all your ways, b'chol derechecha da'eil, serving Him, serving yourself, realizing you have a partnership. Yes, I'm watching over you. There's an Hashgacha Pratis in the world. Hashem's watching over His people. The celebration of Pesach is a celebration of true freedom. That I'm not being a slave to society, the fads, the culture, everything. But I'm locked on, Baruch Hashem, I'm locked on to you, Hashem. You and your Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Deraisa, Yisrael, Achadu, one entity. And we know where we're headed, and we know what we're doing. That's freedom. Hodu Lashem ki tayiv ki lam chasto. Say that in hallel. Hodu Lashem ki tayiv. Thank Hashem, He's good. Ki la oilam chasto. La oilam chasto. Many ways to touch that. La oilam, forever is His kindness. So I'm going to finish with this vort, because this is how we started the class. Full circle, says Imre Shaffer. Hodu Lashem, give thanks to Hashem no matter what happens. Ki la'olam, from the perspective of the olam, of the entirety, it's a chesed. Ki la'olam chasto. Even if it's not apparent to you right now what you're going through as a nation, individually, right? Hodu Lashem, because you're going to find out ki la'olam, in world perspective, chasto, it's also a chesed. Everybody should have a chag kosher v'sameach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.